bless you. God bless you.
Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Welcome to our Bible study. It's Bishop Herbert Charles Clark Jr. And we just want to get into the teaching. Yesterday or last time we had a class, I began reading further into chapter 9 than I probably had planned to. But I wanted to go back to verse 1 of chapter 9. As we completed chapter 8, verse 13, talked about an angel. I beheld an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound." So it was a warning that no matter how bad it sounds like it already has been, it's about to get a little bit worse. All right, so we're going to begin with chapter 9 at verse 1 with the fifth sounding of the trumpet, the fifth trumpet sounding. And let's just get into the teaching. "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given a key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And it came out of the smoke locusts unto the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpion of the earth has power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which had not the seal of God in their forehead." I think when I was reading yesterday, I said those who had the seal of God, so I wanted to make sure I corrected that. It is those who do not have the seal of God in their forehead, which again likens us to the fact that this is taking place prior to any type of rapture of the church. If there are any righteous people still on earth that have the seal of God, they are not allowed to hurt them. Amen. Verse 5, "And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment it was as the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man." Verse 6, "And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." Imagine, if you will, that the torment of these scorpion locusts will be so much that people would rather die than have to endure it. And they'll pray for death. They'll seek death in any means possible, and it will not be granted unto them. In my mind, I can imagine people trying everything from jumping off of bridges, jumping out of windows, shooting themselves, and not being granted death. That their torment for 5 months will have to occur. And you think about that. If the wicked are being tormented for 5 months, what is their reaction going to be toward those who are righteous, who have the seal of God, who carry the wine and the oil, the presence of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God, who are not being tormented? How much anger and hostility and desire to inflict pain on the righteous will there be when that many people are being tormented day after day after day after day for 5 long months? They're not gonna be happy with us. Amen. Those of us who are still still in the good fight, as it were, who haven't been put to sleep by God, who have been predestined to go through this time of trouble and come out on the other side to receive that white robe that has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They're not gonna like you. I mean, people don't like Christians now, and they're not being tormented. Imagine how it will be when you're standing for virtue and for faith and for trusting and believing in God and having a moral standard, and they're being tormented. Well, let's get back into the teaching. Where were we? Verse 7. And the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns with gold, like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Right, so these are some strange spiritual creatures. What's remarkable was they've been given authority. Whenever you see crowns, it speaks of earthly authority, the ability to carry something out, the ability to do it, the right to do it. They've been given that authority, so they're not acting outside of the bounds of what is legal. They have legal authority to do this, and they have faces like men. You know, this is not necessarily a physical characteristic, but it's more of a way of a man being able to decide, to reason, you know how we talk about children not knowing what they're doing. Well, men, when it talks about men or adults or mature people, we can't make the claim that we don't know what we're doing. So their purpose to do this, they're focused on it. This is their mission in life, to torment those who do not have the seal of God in their being. Verse 8. And they had hair as the hair of a woman, and their teeth were as the teeth of a lion. What a description. Hair like the hair of a woman. Hair that entices. Hair that is welcoming, inviting, seductive, as it were. Hair that should be a place of comfort. These creatures will present themselves as something welcoming, something inviting, something harmless. But they have teeth as lions. When they attack, it will be sudden. A lion stalks its prey. It doesn't just, you know, chase it down like a cheetah does. It stalks its prey. It hides in the tall grass, and then it pounces. The lions are known for short bursts of their attack. They sink their teeth deeply into their prey, cutting off the blood flow to the brain. They suffocate their prey. They put their weight. I don't know if you've ever watched any of those National Geographics about lions and how they attack. They put all their weight, comes to bear upon the prey, forcing it to the ground so that they can begin to devour. They begin to devour around the bowel area. I'm being pretty graphic today because I want you to understand these things seek to kill, to rob, and to destroy. The person who they're attacking, who will pray for death, will not be allowed to die. Amen. Verse 9. And they had breastplates, as it were, the breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings were as the sound of trump of chariots of many horses running to battle. All right, so it's hard for my mind's eye not to think of this as some type of indication that we're talking about a machine-type entity that is controlled by men and is able to cause great destruction. And it's hard for me not to think about our drone attack forces doing bombing runs throughout lands and countries where they're really defenseless. Horses, the sound of chariots, the roar of it, the breastplates of metal. It's hard for me not to see that when I look at the text. What we have here is really a colliding of both a spiritual entity and a physical manifestation. And throughout Revelation, that's what we'll have. We'll have both the symbolic meaning and we'll have a literal meaning. And you have to kind of go back and forth using your intellect and using your spirit to understand that we're talking about a collage of Satan's forces being able to control the military apparatus as well as being on the attack spiritually, using people. Before you would think about somebody who's possessed of the devil, their intent is almost they're insane. And here what we have is calculative attacks against different groups of people that don't have the seal of God. Amen. Verse 10. And they had tails like unto scorpions as their stingers. And they were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. Verse 11. And they had a king over them. Listen, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek has the name of Apollyon. Now, there's a text in Genesis chapter 6 that talks about when the Nephilim were created after the watchers had fallen and taken brides of all the daughters of man they wanted, and they conceived and gave birth. And it says many of these were the men of valor. These are renowned men, men of note. And so when you're studying, I don't know if you've had the attention, but when you're studying history and you come across what we call Greek gods and gods of the north, and these were people who were given God status because they had certain powers and abilities. They were probably Nephilim. They were probably those descendants of the Watchers who, because they were giants and had supernatural strength, had a name, a renowned name. And I'm just going to throw this out. I don't want to take the lesson to another level. But you have to remember that the Nephilim creatures, these hybrid creatures, were part angel, part human. When they were to pass away, where would their soul go? Because they were a creature unsanctioned by creation, they could probably never go to heaven. So where would that disembodied spirit or soul go? So when we're looking at these names, a lot of them have to do with that whole situation of the fallen angel's offspring. Let me just throw that out to you. And so Apollyon in the Greek may have been the person that they referred to as Apollo that rode on the chariot throughout heaven. Verse 12. I know you got your pencils out now. You're going to be studying. Verse 12. One woe is past, and behold, two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had a trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now this is another section, and this is why I'm such an avid studier of different legends and mythoses around the world when it comes to religion and angels and demons and things of that nature, because we have to be willing to understand what's going on. Now, in the nation of Islam, in Islam in general, they talk about these four angels that are chained under the river Euphrates. In fact, in Islam, they actually know there's a bridge over this river, and the angels are allegedly chained under that bridge, that specific location. But it's interesting that the Bible says that they're chained in water. So these angels are spirits, or probably water spirits that are being loosed upon the earth. Now, when you understand the knowledge of different spirits, where you're talking about spirits of the air, principalities and powers in the air, water spirits, water demons, forest spirits, forest demons, and things of that nature, demons of element, they exist to control that medium that they were created to work in. And so these water spirits will be able to affect waters of the earth. Amen. So verse 15. The four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. So we have four angels and we have four units of time. We have an hour, a day, a month, and a year. And they are prepared to do something during that period of time. And it says, for to slay a third part of men. So a third part of the human race will be destroyed by these four angels. Now, we're reading earlier when we were opening up seals and other trumpets that a third part of the sea, a third part of the land, a third part of the forest, a third part of the grass was also being destroyed. And now we have a third part of man being destroyed by these four angels. And it would probably, since they are water beings or water spirits, we're talking about things that are being controlled by floods and hurricanes and tsunamis and things of that nature that are going to be used by these angels to destroy a third of the population. And we can, you know, if you turn on the news recently, you can't help but see how easy it is for those storms to be able to rage and take life. It's an interesting story. If you read the Gospels, when Jesus stood up in the boat, and we hear the sermon all the time, peace be still, the storm had a name. He spoke to the storm as it was a spirit. And it was telling the spirit to be still. I want you to study that out. And your assignment, give me the name of that storm. Amen. Give me the name of that storm. It's in your word, you find it, the name of that storm. Amen. But too often as we're conditioned by our flesh and our upbringing and our natural senses, what we think of when we see storms is we only see, oh, that's an effect of global warming, or that's an effect of this or that. And we've taken the true nature of the working of demonic spirits out of the equation, and also angelic spirits out of the equation. And we shouldn't do that. We're spirit beings. We should always be mindful of the fact that this is could be a work of God or a work of Satan. And so we have to always have our eyes open to see what the storm is. And a lot of times we're not effective coming against the storm. Storms in our lives, the storms in other people's lives, the storms overhead. It's because we're not properly addressing the storm. All right, we need to call it out by name. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. What are we rebuking? Are we rebuking wind and wave, or are we rebuking the spirit that has stirred up the wind and the wave? Amen? All right, let me move forward because I'll stay on that. I'll be on that for a while if I keep playing with it. Let me move forward. Amen. Verse 16. And the number of the armies of the horsemen, 200,000. And I heard the number of them. Verse 17. Now, verse 16. The number of the horsemen. Okay, so here we have beasts that are like horses, with faces like men, with stingers. So we're talking about a huge multitude of tormenting spirits, 200,000. All right, which if you take 200,000, you add three zeros to the back of it, you end up with 200 million creatures. Or you could say it's 200,000 and 1,000. So depending on how you decide to do your math, I'm in favor of the multiplication of it. So I'm looking at 200 million of these creatures tormenting, and, you know, there's 9 billion people on the planet. You're going to have a lot of creatures to torment us all, or all of them anyway, those who don't have the seal of God. Verse 17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jasper, and of brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. So these were destructive beings. They're coming with a destruction of fire. Verse 18. It's interesting that they have riders, that they have someone who is controlling their movements. Again, it is not a random thing. It is not a thing that is moving on instinct or without intelligence. This is a targeted attack. It is a targeted attack to bring forth a certain result to people who cannot die, who want to die, who are not going to be allowed to die. This is a targeted attack. Verse 18. By these three was a third part of man killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issues out of their mouth. So they were killed by the fire which is burnt alive by the smoke, which is being asphyxiated, choked to death, and by the brimstone, which, if you don't know anything about sulfur, sulfur is a corrosive death. It destroys the tissues in your body. It destroys your lungs. It destroys your inner organs. It's a painful way to go. It's not a falling asleep kind of thing. It's one of the, you know, it's like if it has a breathable toxicity, you're breathing in something that is corrosively destroying your inner being. Verse 19, but their power is in their mouth and in their tail, and their tails are like unto scorpions and have heads, and with them they do hurt. Verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by this plague yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils or idols of gold or silver or brass or and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Here's a reference to really all the way back to the Exodus, to the coming into the promised land. You kept hearing about them worshiping gods who cannot see nor hear nor walk, worshiping idols, idol worship, little trinkets in your homes, dolphins and lucky charms and leprechauns and gnomes on your lawn. All of these things become false idols, even crosses, the Christian crosses around your neck. You know, I don't wear a cross. It's not that I don't have anything against the cross, but people can get to the point where even your Bible becomes an idol. Where people be like, "Oh, don't put anything on top of your Bible." The Bible is a book. The truth is inside the cover. The cover itself is not holy. The words within the cover are holy. We have to read the words. We cannot and can't ventrify the book. We have to read the words. We have to ingest the words. We have to be one with the word of God. Amen. Amen. Let me finish up because we're almost out of time today. Verse 21, our last verse. Neither repented they of their murder, nor of their sorcery, nor the fornication, nor of their theft. So these are unrepented people. Not only don't they have the seal of God, but even after this torment, they still refuse to come to God. They still refuse to repent. They have decided to reject God. And that is so, you know, no matter how far we have fallen and do fall and do make mistakes and do sin, we have to always be ready to repent. And God is there. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to be willing to repent. Once you come into the knowledge of what truth is and where you have strayed away from it, we have to repent. Amen. All right, that completes our study today. I hope it's been a blessing to you. I look forward to the next time. Until then, be blessed. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.